Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church here today? Well, glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see everybody. Of course, again, we extend our welcome to those that are visiting Family Church for the very first time. We just welcome you. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. Praise the Lord. We love having new faces, new family with us all the time. We welcome you. Of course, the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here all the time. If you're looking for a church family, we'd love to be your church family. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we welcome you. Yes. We know that God wants to do awesome things for your life, and we want to tell you all about it in His Word. Praise the Lord. It all starts with the Word of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we just make sure to show you right out of the Scriptures, amen, what God has for our lives. And that's how we get helped. That's how we get blessed. That's how our lives change for the better. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you ready for the Word here today? Well, if you have your Bibles, if you want to join me in Romans chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 11. Hallelujah. And I'm going to call this message this morning, Healing in the Atonement. And that might sound familiar to some of our Bible students here at our Ministry Training Center. This is similar, but not, of course, the same, but similar to what I taught this past Monday night in our Ministry Training Center. And as I taught that class, I just sensed all the students, their faith was just growing and rising. And the Spirit of God just prompted me to share that with our entire congregation. Praise the Lord. Of course, it's going to be different, but it's also going to go right along with what Dr. Dufresne's been teaching in these meetings. Folks, if you haven't had a chance to come out to these meetings, you need to come out. Yeah. Hallelujah. God has got awesome things in store for us. We're going to be here tonight at 6 p.m., and then tomorrow night, Pastor Nancy Dufresne is going to be here. Hallelujah. And, of course, all this coming week, so it's not just Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy. In my opinion, she is the best Holy Ghost teacher I've ever heard in my life. Hallelujah. So you do not want to miss those meetings. It's going to be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Of course, tonight at 6, tomorrow night at 7. Tuesday through Thursday, we're here at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And then we're going to finish up Friday night at 7 p.m. Hallelujah. So we're going to teach on healing in the atonement this morning. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be many of you that come to these services, and there's going to be people that have hands laid on them. You know, there's going to be faith released over you. And I want to make sure to feed you the Word and remind you the Word. Because how many of you know God just doesn't want to get us healed? He wants to keep us healed. Hallelujah. And it's His Word that'll keep us healed. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. You know, we're living in a day and a time. I'll tell you what, this world needs a church filled with power. Yes. You know, there is so much of this garbage going around, and I'm not here to criticize other churches, but there is what is called the seeker-sensitive movement going through churches, where it's all about being relevant, being modern. Try to relate to society. No, 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 we don't need that. We need power. So many of God's people today, they don't even know what the word atonement means. They don't even know what the ministry of reconciliation, what that even is. They don't know what a covenant is. They don't know any of the terminology that God speaks in, because they're trying to erase that from their churches to try to relate to a consumer-sensitive society. Consumer-sensitive societies doesn't work in the church. You know? The whole social media church that is trying to arise and trying to be relevant. I'll tell you what the devil is trying to do is he's trying to dilute and weaken the power of the church. So when the church is just trying to live on motivational speeches, then our guard would be down, and he will go in and ravage those Christians. Because motivational speeches will not put a hedge of protection around you. A motivational speech will not guard your family. It will not guard your finances. It won't guard your health. You're going to need a real relationship with the living God to know what He has provided for you and to learn to boldly declare what He has said about you. You know, one of our pastor minister friends, his wife pastors a church in Castle Rock. He travels, Reverend Joel Siegel. He's actually in town. He'll be attending the meetings here for the next few days. He was in the meetings this past week, and he was showing me an advertisement for a new church in his area out there near Denver, Colorado. And the advertisement was all about they're having a draft pick from the NFL speak in their church. They're giving away TV sets or whatever. There was some kind of giveaway. We're raffling away stuff. We're getting ready for, you know, it's all this gimmick stuff. I don't care where a player was drafted to the NFL. Is he anointed to speak to God's people?
That's it.
It doesn't matter what CEO or what football coach or what football player, what NBA star is saying. It matters what the Word of God says. And see, the church today, they're giving in to these gimmicks because they're so concerned that they're going to lose the consumer mindset and lose the people in their seats. I'll tell you what, it's not about just having numbers. It's about having fruit. Hallelujah. It's about learning what God has said. Do you understand the Word of God? Can you apply it to your life? Just because you come into a place and some athlete gives you a motivational speech, you walk out, that might feed you for a couple of hours. Not truly feed you, but at least in your mind, you might think you got happy. But then you're going to go back and you're going to be still powerless against the same old trials that have been dogging you your whole life. It's going to take the power of God's Word. God doesn't have a drive-through window. He doesn't make fast food. It takes real commitment. I know that's almost like a swear word in so many modern churches. It takes real responsibility. These messages in these seeker-sensitive places, all they're trying to do is to make you feel like you don't have to do anything. Like you don't have any responsibility in this. Oh, we have responsibility. Have we forgotten that the Word of God says that we will stand before the throne of Christ and we will give an account of our lives? Listen, no matter how motivational your speeches get, they're not going to take away the fact that we will stand in front of a divine God who sacrificed His divine child so that our lives would be powerful. In a church that's trying to water down and trying to relate and dressing down and all this stuff they're trying to do. Listen, God still wants our best.
Yes. Come on.
This leisure approach to church isn't going to work because the world isn't getting any easier out there. God knows it, the devil knows it, and we better know it.
Oh, yeah.
That we better know how to understand. We better be locked and loaded with the promises of God.
Yes.
That when the devil knocks on your door and tries to put something on your body, that you're waiting there with Scripture and say, oh, no, you don't. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely we esteemed him stricken of God. Verse 5 says, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
You better be ready.
Yes.
You better be ready with Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases.
That's right. That's
we better
right.
be ready.
Yes. Yes.
Because do you understand that the world is going in such a way that you see people's needs and you start to see more and more people starting to get desperate and lean on government for what? Two needs, health and money. Basic needs that you have in life. Well, the government might be able to provide a little help for a little while, but we know the time is coming when there will be no other crutch to lean on. The government won't be able to help for very much longer. Just so you know, and you better be relying upon God because government makes a very poor God. So I say all that we need a church that preaches salvation. We need a church that preaches the healing power of God. We need a church that preaches God's prosperity, God's deliverance from anxiety and depression, God's protection, God's peace and God's joy. And folks, no matter how many people they try to get that are creative and athletes or successful or have notoriety, it all still comes back. You can't get more famous than the Bible. I told you to go to Romans chapter 5. Let's take a look at this. Healing and the atonement. If you're here this morning and you hear that word atonement and that seems new to you, let me teach you what it means. The word atonement means to pay for somebody's mistakes. To pay for somebody's mistakes, their injuries, or their sins. It means literally to make at peace with the one to whom you violated. Right? To be at peace with the one that you violated. All right, sin is a violation against God. All right, Jesus came and made atonement for us. He paid for our sins. He paid for our mistakes. He paid for our injuries. He paid the price that we could not pay. We had a debt, and there was only one that could pay it, Jesus. And that's what the word atonement means. I like breaking that word down, atonement. If you look at the word atonement, it's literally spelled at-one-ment, you know? At-one-ment. That's a good definition because that's what it means. It means to make whole, right? Yeah. To make full of peace. To end any hostility between two parties. Right. Yeah. Do you realize that? Yeah. That when we sinned, the Bible says that we became the enemies of God? Yeah. It actually says that in this same chapter. Romans chapter 5 tells us that before we knew Jesus, we were God's enemies. Not because necessarily maybe we wanted to be, not that God wanted it that way, but our sin made it that way, all right? Because when a person is guilty of their sin, they're at hostility with God. Jesus came and ended the hostility between man and God. Hallelujah. God's not mad at you. The Bible says in Colossians 1:21 that he made peace with us through the blood of his cross. He made peace. He called a truce. God is no longer angry at mankind. God doesn't tolerate sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's what Jesus did. He set us at peace with God the Father. And now we're going to look at Romans 5, 11, and 12. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see that there's healing in the atonement. When Jesus paid the price for your sins, he didn't pay for your sins only. That was the most important thing he did, but there were other things that he paid the price for too.
That's right.
And after your sins, the second thing he paid for was your sickness and disease. He paid so that we could be healed, yes, even in our physical, mortal bodies.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's people out there, Christians, that are trying to teach, no, when the Bible talks about healing, it's just talking about a spiritual healing. Oh no! It's not talking about spiritual healing because you were not healed spiritually. So that might seem like a real shock. You were not healed. Healed means to repair or to fix or to bandage. When it comes to your spirit nature, the Bible doesn't say you've been repaired. The Bible says that you were recreated. Glory to God. The Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
That's
glory
right.
to God.
Amen. That's right.
So your nature on the inside, your spirit becomes new.
Yes.
It isn't healed or bandaged up. It's recreated. To be recreated and to be healed are two different things. But now our bodies were not recreated. Our physical flesh wasn't recreated. But that's what healing's for.
That's right.
God made provision for healing in our body. Glory to God. Romans 5:11 says this. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Yeah. That's right. That's
we have now received the atonement.
Yeah.
That isn't present, or that isn't past tense, or excuse me, that isn't future tense. That's past tense.
That's right.
It's something that has already happened. You, as a Christian, have received something.
Yes.
And the Bible says what you've received is called the atonement. And a lot of Christians, they don't even know what that means. If you don't know what it means, then how are you going to partake from it?
Exactly.
Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know can hurt you.
Yes. You're right.
And if you don't know what the atonement is, you aren't going to receive from the atonement. All right? So the Bible says you've received the atonement. Everyone say, I have the atonement.
I have the atonement.
It's something you have right now. And if you have it right now, you might as well start living out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
So we have the atonement. Verse 12, it says, wherefore, because of this, since you have the atonement, as by one man sin entered into the world. That's talking about Adam and Eve, right? And death entered by sin. So death passed upon all men because all men have sinned. Oh, we need to get a hold of this. Now we start to see death is not a creation of God. Some of you are turning. I hear the gears clicking up there. Do you know there's a lot of people out there, they're saying when somebody dies, oh, God took them. God took them home. No, God didn't take anybody home. You understand that? Death is not a creation of God. God didn't think of it. God didn't make it. God didn't plan it. He did not purpose death. Death is the result of mankind sinning against God. God didn't make death. Man made death. Man, through the instigation of the devil, when we committed high treason against God, we sold out to the devil, right? Yeah. Disobeyed God. Sin came upon man. We lost the nature of God, gained the nature of the devil, and we gained everything that is in the devil, which is death.
That's right.
The word death here in the Strong's Concordance literally is defined as all miseries comprised by sin, meaning comprising all the miseries arising from sin. Amen. Get a hold of that. The word death there, it means comprising all the miseries arising from sin.
Wow.
Was sin God's idea? No. It was the devil's idea. He tempted man and man fell into sin.
Right.
Death is a result. The Bible says that death is the last enemy.
Yeah.
So therefore, death is not something God made.
That's right.
All right? And God did not make or purpose anything associated with sin. God did not comprise the miseries arising from sin. They were a result of obeying Satan. All right? All right. So now, so sin is not God's plan. Was sickness God's plan? No. Were Adam and Eve ever sick before they sinned? Absolutely not. Sickness is a result of humanity's disobedience against God. Now, when you hear that, you might say, oh my goodness, I have symptoms in my body, or I'm going through this condition. That pastor up there is telling me that it's my fault. Is that what I said? No, I'm talking about all these things came upon humanity because humanity rebelled against God.
That's right.
All right? Satan hates mankind. He is going to try to oppress mankind with every form of sickness and disease. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we know that God did not invent it. God didn't invent death, therefore he didn't invent anything associated with death. God didn't invent sickness. He's not the author of diseases. He's not the author of depression. He's not the author of anxiety. He's not the author of lack. He's not the author of poverty. Because where did poverty come from? Were Adam and Eve ever in poverty before they sinned? No. Were they ever depressed before they sinned? No. Were they ever sick before they sinned? All the miseries that came upon humanity were not from God.
That's right.
They were the result of human beings disobeying God.
Right?
Right? Yeah. But remember, verse 11 says, we've received the atonement. We received the atonement. So this atonement obviously covers all those areas comprising in death. All the miseries that comprise wherever sin came in and produced misery, the atonement comes in and deals with that misery. The atonement is our answer. The atonement is our solution. There is promises in that. Now remember, it's not something you're going to get. It's something you have right now.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen.
Oh, my goodness. All of a sudden, light bulbs are going to start popping off in your mind. You're going to say, oh, my goodness, I've had it the whole time.
Yes, the whole time. That's
right. My freedom from depression has been with me the whole time.
Yes, exactly. Amen. Amen.
My freedom from sickness and disease has been with me the whole time.
Yes.
Why? Because you have the atonement.
That's right.
But maybe you just don't know about it. Maybe you don't know how to use it. Maybe you don't know how to partake of it. Well, that's what this morning is going to help you with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We know that sickness is just death begun. That's the ultimate goal of sickness, is to kill the human body. Of course, God designed the human body to have an immune system to fight off sickness and disease. But when death starts to set in is when the immune system is overwhelmed and the body can no longer fight off sickness and disease. That body will die unless there's an intervention of God. And it's in this intervention that we must believe, we must confess, because that's what the atonement is, and that's what it was for. Jesus on the cross, paying for our sins, paying for our sickness, paying for our disease and our poverty, it was an interception, right? It was an interruption to everything the devil was trying to destroy you with. It was an interruption.
Glory to God. That's right.
It was the break of Satan's power over humanity.
Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yeah. That's right.
You cannot believe that God is the author of sickness. I heard an Assembly of God preacher just recently saying, talking about someone who was sick and was dying of cancer, and that person recovered, and praise the Lord for that. And the Assembly of God preacher said, oh, I'm so glad that it was God's will for this one to live this time. Thinking, no, it was God's will for everyone every time.
That's right.
But if you believe God is the author of sickness, if you believe he's the author of disease, and you think that he created those things, then you believe that he's the author of death. He's not the author of death. He's not the author of sickness. He's the author of the atonement.
Yes.
He's the author of the solution.
Yes.
He's the author that came down and interrupted the devil's power.
Yes.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now go with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. These are the chapters and verses that Dr. Dufresne's been teaching on this week. Go 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Glory to God. So if sickness was a result of sin, then obviously our number one help against it would be God's answer for sin. Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now some of you might be sitting here getting upset, but just stay with me. Because I'm teaching, I'm going to show you scripture after scripture. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid for your sickness and disease.
Yes. Yes.
Don't you sit there and get all religious and say, well, my church taught me growing up that God makes people sick for a sovereign purpose. Well, your church taught you wrong.
That's right.
And I'm not saying that we're the only right ones. I'm not saying we're a perfect church. I'm just saying that it is not true say that God authors sickness and disease to make people learn a lesson. Is that how you teach your kids at home? Oh, you disobeyed me, Timothy. Come here, I'm going to put a sickness on you. If you did that in our society, you'd get arrested for child endangerment. That would be called abuse, rightfully so. Do you think God abuses his children? Do you think that God prefers you sick? Do you think God is a teacher that teaches like that? He teaches with love. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, people say, well, man, Pastor, you just seem kind of bold about this and really, you know, really pretty silly. Yeah, because I tell you what, you better be bold against the devil's devices. Because if you're okay with it, then God will allow you to have whatever you're okay with. I'm not okay with symptoms on my body. I'm not okay with symptoms in my family. I'm not okay with it because you're going to see in the Word, Jesus carried our sickness and our disease.
Amen. Come on.
He carried it. Now let me show you directly in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, by the time we get to verse 29, he's talking about the Lord's Supper or communion, right?
Yeah.
Now, before I go any further, I sense at times that when people hear a message like this, they start to think, okay, He's talking about how sickness came from sin, and if I have symptoms in my body, therefore I'm wicked. I'm sinning because I have symptoms. Is that what I'm saying? No. We're teaching you how to get help.
Right.
We're teaching you in God's power that's available for you to be free from that, because God doesn't want that for you. Amen. It doesn't mean you're the problem, or we're not saying that, you know, you're a wicked person because you've had symptoms in your body. I've had symptoms in my body. You've had symptoms in your body. I'll tell you what, the devil's always going to try to test us that way. But praise God, we need to know the truth.
Amen.
That's right. Say, well, why does it really matter? I'll tell you why it matters, because you're going to see that the same price that Jesus paid for your sins is the same price he paid for your healing. That's why it matters, because God wants it for you. So he's talking here about the communion. He's talking about the Lord's Supper, about eating the bread and drinking of the cup, right? And in verse 29, he says, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Everyone say, "The Lord's body."
The Lord's body.
Amen. And Dr. Dufresne's been teaching, and of course I'm going to mention it again here. There are two applications of the Lord's body. There was the Lord's body that was on the cross. All right? Look up there to verse 24. What did Jesus say about his body? Paul is quoting Jesus here in verse 24. "And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Notice Jesus said that his body was broken for you. Not broken with you, broken for you. So when Jesus' body was broken, his natural body, when it was on the earth, it meant a benefit for you.
Yes, good.
The words "for you" means for your benefit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So when his body broke on this natural earth, in his natural body, there was a benefit for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But there's another application of the Lord's body. The second application is, who else is the Lord's body?
Amen.
We are, right? The church. We are the Lord's body.
That's right.
Dr. Dufresne's been making an illustration about when Jesus' body was broken, literally all those pieces went out and covered the world, right? Isn't that who we are? Isn't there Christians all over the globe now? His body was broken, they scattered, and they covered the earth preaching the gospel, bringing the gospel. Amen. But here we're talking about the body of Christ that was broken on the cross.
Amen.
Remember, it was for you.
That's right.
Lord, I thank you. Your body was broken for me.
Right.
There's a benefit for me. It falls down in my direction. There's something that it was going to do on my behalf.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Look at verse 29 again. He says, those that eat and drink unworthily drink damnation to themselves, not discerning, not understanding the Lord's body.
That's right.
So when you fail to understand the Lord's body, meaning that there's Christians, they don't understand what the body was broken for. They don't believe what it was broken for. They don't confess what it was broken for. They don't understand what it was broken for.
That's right.
All right, look what happens. Verse 30, those that do not understand or discern the Lord's body. For this cause. Everyone say, for this cause.
This cause.
What cause is he talking about? Not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding what that bread represents.
Right.
Not knowing what the body was broken for you for. All right? For this cause, many are weak, many are sickly among you, and many sleep. That "many sleep" part, that's the King James Version of saying many die premature. So notice, when you don't understand the Lord's body, it produces weakness, it produces sickness, and it produces premature death. I'm just reading you the verses here.
That's right, that's right, sure.
You know, this is why I put verses up on the screen. I understand it's not for every church, but the Lord has spoken to me about this area, that there's been so many erroneous doctrines and things going around, that I put it up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a lot of people visit our church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they want to criticize. So I put it right there in black and white. So not understanding the Lord's body. When you don't understand what was broken for you on this earth, it produces weakness, sickness, and premature death. So we know the opposite must be true. When you do discern the Lord's body, when you do understand what that body, it was broken for me. Now we know what it was broken for. It was, if not understanding it produces weakness, sickness, and premature death, then when I do understand it, when I do discern it properly, it produces strength, health, and long life. So there's no way you can say this just has to do with spiritual healing. You can't just try to spiritualize it and say, well, we'll all get healed when we get to heaven. Well, it doesn't take any faith to believe that. Of course. So when we understand the Lord's body, it produces strength, health, and long life. Lord, I thank you. When your body was broken upon that cross, what your, glory to God. When it was broken, the benefit of strength, health, and long life came to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now go up there to verse 28 real quick. I think it's important to stop right, you know, to park on this for a moment. In verse 28, he's talking about taking the Lord's Supper and understanding the body and blood of Jesus. Understand the body and blood. And he says, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Notice it says, examine ourselves. See, this is where the other application of the Lord's body comes in. Examine yourself. Are you conducting yourself within the Lord's body, the local church? Are you conducting yourself appropriately? Are you hooked up to the local church? Are you faithful in your local church? Are you serving in the local church? Are you tithing in your local church? Are you being a productive citizen of God's community? Amen. That's absolutely right. Because you have to be joined. Remember, the Bible says that we are all body parts of the Lord's body. Have you learned? I'm not a doctor, but I've learned this, that body parts that are attached to the body do better than the ones that aren't.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
My body can live without my pinky, but my pinky can't live without my body. This body can live without you, but you cannot live without your local church. And if you're just visiting today and you have another local church somewhere, that's true with any church.
Sure.
Family church isn't some elite special church, you understand? This would be true wherever. If you have a church somewhere else and you need to be there, you need to be hooked up, you need to be serving, you need to be helping that leadership, you need to be given. Hallelujah. Why? Because my pinky is sure glad there's life in the body today. Because the moment the pinky gets removed, and it's not going to, by the way. I'm making this as an illustration. Well, the moment the pinky gets removed, not going to do any good anymore. Because the pinky is not self-sufficient on its own. The pinky has no life in and of itself. It lives because it's attached. I have no life in and of myself. I have life because I'm attached.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is what so many Christians are out there. They're thinking they're home watching some preacher on TV thinking they're having church. You can't have church watching TV. If you're watching by live stream today and you're calling that your church, no. That's not what that's for. That's not what that's for. It's an outreach. It's an outreach for people that are unchurched. But if there's people that know better and they're sitting in front of the TV screen at home, well, I'm going to have church with my coffee and sit in my underpants and watch some preacher. Well, you know, people are people. There's somebody right now. I I'm speaking to that video camera. You're home drinking your coffee in your underwear thinking you're having church. You're not having church until you're there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not discerning the Lord's body. But notice in verse 28, it said, let a man examine himself. Do you know when so many times when circumstances come up, people don't examine themselves. They start examining God. It didn't say, let a man examine God. You know what I mean by that? So, a trial will come against them. Maybe a sickness, disease, maybe a financial trial, maybe trouble in their marriage or whatever. And people start to think, well, you know, maybe we should rethink the healing message. Maybe God really didn't mean we'd be healed in our bodies because I'm going through this. No. You will never know God's will by circumstances. You know what God's will is by what's in His Word. Listen, God's will does not happen automatically. You will have to enforce it in your life. People do that. They say, well, I believed in healing, but I got sick. Therefore, it must have been God's will, so I got to really rethink what God meant. No, don't examine God. Don't re-examine what you believe. Examine yourself. I'll tell you what. I'm just going to tell you from my standpoint, anytime sickness and disease tries to come on my body, every single time I go right to my heart, say, Lord, I know that you didn't put this on me. I know that this isn't your plan for my life. Right? Amen.
That's right.
It isn't God's plan, so I say, Lord, it's not on your side. It must be on my side. I start examining myself. I start saying, Lord, did I miss something? Did you tell me to do something? And I'll tell you what, every single time, actually, I don't even need to go that far most times. I mean, I typically, when I start getting symptoms about my body, I mean, I know exactly. God told me something to do, put something on my conscience, told me something to do, and I didn't do it.
Sure.
Many times, I would say 9 out of 10 times, you know, I didn't rest my body. God told me to rest. When I got back from Brazil, I wanted to come Wednesday night. I just, you know, we got back Wednesday in the afternoon. I wanted to preach Wednesday night. I wanted to be here. I wanted to be with all of you. I just wanted to come and preach fire. I was all wound up, but God was dealing with me. Rest. Rest. Oh, I didn't really, you don't want to, naturally. But you better obey God when He tells you. Some of you are working nonstop, round the clock. You better obey God when He tells you to rest. Amen. But notice it says, let a man examine himself. Don't start rethinking the healing message. Listen, the truth of healing is true whether you believe it or not. It's true. So don't go back there and say, well, let me try to see if I can find something to change the healing message. No, the healing message doesn't change. Don't examine God's character, His nature. Examine yours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now go up there. I'm just kind of going to go off the beaten path here. Is that all right? Go to verse 26. I know I'm kind of taking these scriptures and taking them out every which way. Verse 26. It's all talking about the same thing, so we understand it's all appropriate. Verse 26, he says, for as often as you eat this bread, what's the bread? The body. It represents the body. So as often as you eat this bread or understand the Lord's body broken for you and drink this cup that represents the blood, you do show, you do manifest, you do reveal the Lord's death until He comes. In the denomination that I grew up in, to show the Lord's death was basically to tell everybody how bad your life is. I'm going through this. I'm just showing the Lord's death. I'm just showing the Lord's death. God put this disease on me so I would carry my cross. It's heavy and woe is me. God trusted me with this sickness. But then I don't understand why they were going to the doctor to try to have him cut it out.
Yeah.
I was told in my denominational church that God put sickness on people for sovereign reasons. That it was the will of God. Then I didn't understand why everybody in my denominational church was running down to the surgeon or to the doctor to get them to cut out. You don't want to cut that out. That's the will of God. Don't you take that out. No, no, oh, no, no. That wouldn't be right to have surgery then.
Yeah, come on.
That would make doctors and nurses agents of the devil.
Yeah.
That would make hospitals houses of rebellion.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing here? Quick, let's go burn down the hospital. They're down there cutting the will of God out of people. Stop it. Doctors and nurses aren't curses, they're blessings. Glory to God. They're working for the same purpose that God wants to do for people. They might do a different way, but God wants people healed. Doctors want people healthy. Nurses want people healthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But notice this, for often as you drink or eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show, manifest, reveal the Lord's death. The Lord spoke to me about this verse during these meetings this past week. What does it mean to show the Lord's death? Well, what did Jesus say in John 14? I believe it's verse 19. Jesus said, because I live, you live also.
Yeah.
Whenever the Bible's talking about the Lord's death, remember, there was an exchange.
Yeah.
He took our death so we could take his life.
That's right.
So how we reveal or show the Lord's death doesn't mean, oh, I'm showing the Lord's death. It means, no. The Lord's death in my life, he died that I would have life.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
Glory to God.
Yes.
See, there was an exchange. You have to understand that when the Lord took that death upon him, right, he was exchanging what we deserved for what he had.
Yes.
He took my guilt so I could take his innocence.
Yes.
He took my death so I could take his life.
That's right.
Glory to God.
That's
how you show and reveal the Lord's death.
That's right.
You walk in his life.
That's right. Amen.
People say, how is it that you're walking in this power and you're enjoying this life, this power of God? God's so faithful to you. The Lord's death.
Yes.
Where was strength, healing, and long life provided for you? The Lord's death.
That's right.
Where did your joy come from? The Lord's death. Where'd your peace come from? The Lord's death. Where'd your health come from? The Lord's death. Where'd your prosperity come from? The Lord's death. Where's your help? The Lord's death. When you take of that communion bread and you drink of that cup, you're saying, Lord, we exchanged my life for yours. If we would understand what he has given to us, what he's done for us, thank you, Father. Well, I just can't believe that. I just believe all that Jesus did was to die and raise again. Oh, it's funny that you want to mention the resurrection. Let's take a look at that. Go to Romans chapter 8. He said, well, I don't believe that there's healing in the atonement. Where was there somewhere else where the Lord's body was broken? The atonement, Jesus' body was broken when he was atoning for our sins. And notice when he atoned for our sins, it produces health, strength, and long life.
Amen. That's right.
Say, well, that sure would be nice to have that. You have received the atonement.
Amen.
You're waiting to get something you already have.
That's right.
You're saying, I'm waiting for God to heal me. God's saying, I'm waiting for you to believe that you're healed.
That's it.
God's waiting for you to say, I am healed. I have received the atonement. I have it now. I'm not waiting for the future. I have it. He said I have it.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
The atonement is yours now. Well, I don't know about this. Well, you know, there's a lot of, how many of you believe that Jesus' resurrection was absolutely necessary for your salvation? Right? Absolutely necessary in every way possible. Say, well, I believe that Jesus rose again so I could just go to heaven someday. Well, yes, praise the Lord. Listen, we better have a deeper thinking process than just going to heaven. Because if the only difference between you and a sinner is that you're going to heaven and they're not, that's a lousy testimony for the power of God.
You're right. That's
heaven is just where God lives. You're in his family. Of course you're going to live in his house.
Well, yes.
You're his children. You're going to be with him. And praise the Lord. We want people to go to heaven. No one has to go to hell. We have to tell them about that. But there's more to this life about than just going to heaven or not. Say, well, where is the benefit for me? Listen, when the power of God is active in your life, you are going to be a walking billboard for the power of God. Hallelujah. People are going to be drawn to you. They're going to want to know what you know. They're going to want to have what you have. How many family members have contacted me? Will you lay hands on me? Will you pray for me? Just yesterday, I was getting a request to pray for someone's dog. Praise God for dogs. Not in my house. But when people know, when I was down in Brazil, the church where I was at, just a dynamic, awesome church. And we were talking about it. They believe in healing. They preach healing, but just not very much, you know. And we were having a conversation about it. And while I was there, I ministered a lot along the lines of taking authority over Satan. Laying hands on the sick and things like that. I laid hands on hundreds of people that had approached the altar down there, and it was an awesome time, you know. And once the pastor of that church, I mean, there was thousands of people there. Once he had gotten, he had an idea that I believed in healing and saw me laying hands on the sick, he came and got me to take me to other people in his church that he knew had conditions. Come over here and pray for this baby. Oh, come on over here and pray for this lady. When I was in his home, hey, pray for my grandson, you know? Because when people know that you are so sold out to the power of God, that you know when you lay your hands on the sick, power is going to go into them. People are going to start calling on you. Family members, I'll tell you what, they might not need you, but someday the stuff's going to hit the fan, and they're going to need you, and they're going to call on you. And it's a sign that their hearts are getting soft to the message of the gospel. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. If the Holy Ghost that was so powerful to take Jesus' cursed, sick, destroyed, beaten, bruised body and bring it back to life lives in you. He that raised up Christ, who is he that raised up Christ? The Holy Ghost. He that raised up Christ from the grave. When Isaiah said that Jesus was marred beyond the visage of any man because he received all the world's sins, all the world's sickness, all the world's depression, all the world's poverty, he couldn't even recognize him as a human being. What do you think that body looked like when they buried it? Yeah. So now we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost to raise that kind of body from the dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, also equal what he did in the resurrection, he's about to do in you. Glory to God. He shall also quicken. That word quicken means to make alive, to heal your mortal bodies by the same Holy Ghost that dwells in you. That raised Christ up from the dead. Glory to God. You believe in the resurrection? Good. God believes in it. You believe in it for salvation? Good. You need to believe in it for salvation. But notice the same place that you get saved is the same place you get healed. When you go to the grocery store and you have to fill your cupboards, aren't you glad it's all in the grocery store?
Yeah, amen.
You don't have to go to the Apple store.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the meat store. You don't have to go to the garbage bag store, the banana store, the cookie store. You go to a grocery store.
That's right.
And where you get one, you get it all. When Jesus died for your sins, and when he rose again for your sins, the same destination for salvation is the same place you get healed. Hallelujah. That power of the Holy Ghost, it's not out here somewhere. It was with you the whole time. Why? It dwells in you. Dwells in you. You have received the atonement. You have received the Holy Ghost who raised up Jesus from the dead. He will make alive, heal, and make whole your mortal body. Just in case God didn't want you to be confused. People think, well, he must mean his spiritual body. No, the Holy Ghost made sure to author the word mortal. Your body on this earth. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to deviate a little. Go to Luke chapter 13. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so many places. Where did I tell you? Actually, there's so many places I want to go right now. I'm preaching to 1:30 this afternoon, so. Some of you just got really nervous. No. You know what? Go with me back to the book of Numbers. There's so many places I want to go right now. But I feel that this is best. This is where I have peace I'm going. Numbers chapter 21. Go back to the Old Testament. Where is Numbers? I get preaching, I get under the anointing, and all of a sudden I don't even know where the books are in the Bible. Numbers 21, and we're going to look at verse 9. Now, if you're not familiar with Numbers 21, verse 9, what was going on is the children of Israel had disobeyed God. And as a result, a bunch of vipers, literally snakes, had come into the camp, started biting all the people. And they were getting extremely sick. Some were dying from these viper bites. And the Lord was so good, even in his mercy, he was going to provide a way for them to get healed. And verse 9 explains God's instructions to the people. Of course, Moses was leading them. And God had commanded Moses to make a brass serpent and to lift it up on a pole. And that whoever looked upon that brass serpent would be healed from their snake bites. Verse 9 talks about it. It says, and Moses made a serpent of brass. He put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived or was healed. You say, what does that have to do with me? All right, well, let me show you. Flip with me back to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. You know, the big star of John chapter 3, of course, is verse 16. But we got to read two verses before it, verse 14. Now remember, what was Moses told to do? Put a brass serpent on a pole, lift it up, and whoever looks upon it will be healed. Now this verse is going to make a lot more sense to you, what Jesus said. Chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus speaking, words in red in my Bible. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, notice as Moses, now look at the next words, even so. In my Bible, I just like to put a big equal sign. Equals. Even so. So whatever the Lord's about to talk about is going to be at least as equal what happened when Moses lifted that serpent. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yes, that's right.
Do you think the brass serpent could do more than Christ? If the brass serpent could produce healing and Jesus on the cross could not, Jesus said, even so. Whatever the brass serpent can do, he would at least do that and more.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
If the healing wasn't in the atonement, he would never use an Old Testament illustration of healing to describe his time on the cross. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter 2:24. Actually, go to Luke 13. I'm sorry, I'm really steering you around the New Testament here. Just going a little different direction. This is different than even Monday night, but I'll tell you what, I sense people's faith growing. And say, what do you do with this? Do you just walk out of here being just a hearer only? No. You walk out of here, the next time the devil knocks on your door, I don't care if it's the sniffles, I don't care if it's a fever, I don't care if it's a bad report from a doctor. Nothing wrong with going to doctors. But when I say the devil's knocking on your door, I'm not talking about doctors. Doctors are good. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Luke, our beloved physician. Yes. Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 12, those that be sick need a doctor. People that have this idea that doctors are evil, they're messed up and they're weird. I'm grateful for doctors. I'm grateful. I go every few years and get a physical. It's smart.
Sure.
Just smart. Amen. What did I tell you? Luke 13. Luke 13, we're going to start in verse 11. And we'll end here, though I could just preach all day. I'm wound up. See, some of you need, all of you, you need to be in these meetings. I tell you what, break out with God. Do something radical and go to church on a Sunday night. And do something really weird for God. Go on a Monday night. Actually, do something that just would change your life. Go every night. You mean be in church every night, Sunday through Friday? Yes. We don't do this all the time, but this is our time of the year. We have Dr. Dufresne in here. He's a mighty man of God, teaching, preaching, imparting, laying hands. Pastor Nancy, I'll tell you what. You haven't heard Pastor Nancy teach. You're going to be blessed. She is the best Holy Ghost teacher I've ever heard in my life. Bar none. Bar none. Chapter 13, verse 11. Let's just read the story. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. In the Amplified Bible, it says a demon of sickness. How many of you have an Amplified Bible and it says demon of sickness? All right? That's what it means, spirit of infirmity. So notice sickness is an evil spirit, not a holy spirit. It's not from God, it's from the devil. And you say, oh my goodness, well you're telling me I'm from the devil because I have a sickness. No, you're not from the devil. That sickness is. We're telling you how to use your faith and kick that devil out the door. My goodness. Glory to God. She had this demon of sickness for 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, he was mad, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Boy, these religious folks. Why do religious people hate healing? I'll tell you, because religion is a spirit. People get tied up in their religion and they hate when people get blessed. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said to this leader of the synagogue, you hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Verse 16, here we go. Listen. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound? Satan bound this woman. It wasn't God. It was the devil. Lo, at these 18 years, ought she not be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Look what he said. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, shouldn't she be healed?
That's right.
Ought not she be healed?
That's right.
The word ought means she should be.
That's right.
There's a way things should be.
Yeah.
And notice what qualified her that she should be walking in health, because she's a daughter of Abraham. That's Jesus using covenant language.
That's right.
Healing belonged to this woman, even though she was oppressed with a condition for 18 years.
Right.
Yes. He said, wait a minute, she's had the answer the whole time.
Yes.
She's had the answer the whole time. Her answer was that she's a daughter of Abraham. Child of Abraham equals healing belongs to you.
That's right.
Well, how nice for the children of Abraham. Wish I was one of those. Be nice. Those lucky Jewish people. They get all the goodies, you know. Go over to Galatians chapter 3.
Yeah.
So now, boy, if the Lord called me a child of Abraham, then that would give me full license to believe that healing is mine. Because Jesus is not a respecter of persons. If being a child of Abraham was enough to get that woman healed, if I was a child of Abraham, he would have to do the same thing for me.
Sure, come on.
He would have to.
He'd have to.
He would have to.
Yes, come on.
He wouldn't just bless one and not the other.
That's right.
Remember, the word says he's no respecter
That's
of persons.
Right.
What he does for one, he'll do for another.
That's right.
Well, if we were just children of Abraham, I sure wish I had a verse in Galatians 3:29 that told me that. Galatians 3:29. All right. Let's see if we can pull ourselves out of the moans and drones and find something to shout about. And if you be Christ's, is there anyone in here that belong to Christ? Then you are Abraham's seed. And you are heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. If he said that to her about being Abraham's child, he said it to us. Should not my church, should not my children be loosed? Should they not be free? Should they not be healed? It's the way it ought to be. Glory to God. Don't you just sense as you hear a word like this, your faith just starts to grow and it starts to build, and you start to realize, I'm going to walk out of here more bold. I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to say, don't just think it. Don't you just walk out of here and next time, you know, symptoms come against you, don't you do anything. You say, no. Stop right there. I am a child of Abraham. I am the son or daughter of the living God. I have received the atonement. The same place I got saved is the same place I got healed. Devil, you cannot undo the cross. You cannot not undo the resurrection. You cannot take away the Holy Ghost that's in me. Hallelujah. He can't take away. He's just trying to put those symptoms on your body to get you believing something else. Oh, I better examine God because I got sick. God must have changed his mind.
No,
examine yourself.
That's right.
Examine your place in the body. Examine your faith on, man, where is my faith? Do I believe that body was broken for me? You can't just think it up here. You have to talk to God. You've got to release your faith. I say, thank you, Lord. This is what you all do now. You don't have to repeat after me right now. Thank you, Father. Your body was broken for me, that I would be strong, that I would be healthy, that I would have long life. The spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead dwells in me. He quickens my mortal flesh.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you get some help here today?